ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విదిన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sairam from Prashantinilam, the most happening place on the planet. As I always say, I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and today is March 8th, 2018. And we just celebrated the colorful festival of Holi in Prashantinilam. Many devotees from the states of Bihar and Jharkhand were here to make their day special too. They presented a program at his lotus feet, and there was sweets, there was gaiety. In fact, there is no lean month in Prashantinilam when you think about it, isn't it? Many would think that the summer months are free months in Prashantinilam, but they are not actually, because now you have Ugadi, then coming up is Ram Navami, Tamil New Year, Vishu, Aradhana Day, Ishwarama Day. Well, it goes on. There is not a dull moment in Prashantinilam. It is always pulsating with devotional and spiritual fervor, and it is only increasing every passing day, every passing festival, every passing month. And as I was sitting in the Sai Kulwant Hall on the day of Holi, my memory suddenly went back to the Holi day of the previous year in 2017. Something interesting, I would say not interesting, something really shocking had happened on the Holi day in 2017. It was a day you didn't know whether to cry or to celebrate. You didn't know whether to grieve or rejoice. You just became silent. Your heart had become like sponge. You didn't know what else to do but to just absorb, just witness everything that was unfolding. Your heart had become supple. You just went with the flow of the events. You had no clue, you had no choice. What was destined was happening. So many hearts broke down. So many were stunned to silence. So many just could not control their tears. So many just could not stop chanting his name. It was a day when Bhagwan chose to call one of his dearmost devotees, dearmost servitors, back to him. It was the day when a diamond of a devotee finally annihilated her mind and became one with the universal spirit. It was the day when a rare gem of a bhakta, handpicked by Bhagwan to do his work when the time was up, had merged back into timelessness. It was the day when Mrs. Ratanlal bid goodbye to the Sai fraternity, to humanity. Not many know about her. Only those who have seen or worked with Bhagwan at close quarters possibly would have interacted with her or seen her or even probably would recognize her. That is how silent she was, even though she was the one who was looking after Bhagwan, almost like how Mother Ishwarama looked after Swami after the Divine Mother left her mortal coil. In fact, Mother Ishwarama left this earth in May 1972, and quite significantly, just a few months prior to this, Swami orchestrates the events in such a way that Mrs. Ratanlal begins to cook for him. And from then on, she continued to look after Bhagwan's kitchen till Bhagwan was in his earthly form. And Mrs. Ratanlal did not do just that. She was such a dynamic, resourceful, committed, intelligent, and most importantly, such a pure soul that she indeed was the chosen one picked by Bhagwan for numerous tasks. She did everything behind the scenes, be it setting up of the printing press for Sanatan Sarthi, organizing Swami's trip to Kashmir in 1980, traveling with Swami on almost every trip since the 70s, and doing a million things in the background so that Swami stays comfortable and all the guests and students with Swami are well taken care of, be it Vrindavan, be it Kodaikanal, be it Madurai, be it Chennai. Or be it setting up the college library in Vrindavan, looking after the needs of Sai Geeta, facilitating many high-profile devotees and individuals from the elite circles of Mumbai and Delhi to make their trips to Prashantanilayam and be touched and transformed by his love. And of course, there are so many lives she touched, so many needy, so many distressed, so many who needed some help, and silently she went all out to do whatever she can. And she was such a fantastic and silent Sai worker. I mean, that is the mark of a Sai worker, to be silent, to do everything for Sai silently. That is how his instrument should be, and that is how Mrs. Ratanlal's life was, always attributing everything to the divine, never thinking of herself or her needs, never concerned about her comforts, sacrificing whatever she had, whatever she was gifted with, whatever she was endowed with, without a slightest hesitation when it came to Swami, when it came to his physical well-being, when it came to doing something for his mission. The Sai world lost a fantastic role model on March 12, 2017. Just like Swami in the earlier era had created a Radha, a Meera, Swami continuously shaped and created so many such souls, and he's doing that even now. Many times we would never know of them. We would hardly know of these souls, and Mrs. Ratanlal belongs to that legion of stalwart servitors of the Lord. She was such a light who finally became one with the light. A devotee's journey, Swami says, starts with the light is in me, and it moves on to I am in the light, and ultimately everyone comes to the stage of I am the light. I would like to share today something about her journey, about how Swami created this diamond of a devotee out of an earthly diamond through this process of transformation, and how he did it so slowly, gradually, so systematically. There is so much to learn from her relationship with Bhagwan. So we will pick these lessons as we ruminate on her life. And as we do this, we will analyze this through this prism of this light framework that every devotee has to pass. I am in the light, the light is in me, and I am the light. I cannot but remind myself of that very beautiful bhajan, you know, which is all about beseeching the Lord to kindle that light in us.
Antar jyot jalao Sai, antar jyot jalao Sai, Brahma Sanatani daya karo.
So today in this episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, let's take this opportunity to dwell on the life of this diamond of a devotee, Mrs. Ratanlal, and see how this Antar Jyoti was lit in her by Bhagwan. And before I share with you about her initial days, how she came to the fold, let me narrate to you how Swami made it very clear to her that she indeed is the chosen one. I remember when Swami saw Professor Kasturi for the first time in Bangalore, in that initial moment itself, Swami told him, "You are going to write my biography, be ready." And Professor Kasturi was completely stupefied, he was absolutely clueless. He had no idea who the Sai Baba is, what is his plan, what is his objective, what is he supposed to do, why is he meeting him. He had absolutely no understanding anything about Swami or himself or his mission. And out of the blue, Swami comes and tells, "You are going to write my biography." And he's wondering, why should I do it? I mean, why should, first of all, a biography be written about him? And why, of all the people in the world, me? This is the state that Professor Kasturi was. But Swami was making it so clear in that first encounter itself that you are the chosen one and you have a very, very important role to play in the Sai Avatar. And I would say similar thing happened with Mrs. Ratanlal too. Though it did not happen in the first encounter, it did happen in the initial years of her knowing and discovering Bhagwan. So this happened in 1971. It was the month of December. The India-Pakistan war was on and the country was in a turmoil. There were repercussions of this everywhere, in every city, in every state of India. There was curfew, there was lockouts. So, Swami's birthday celebration happened as usual in November 1971. And after that, Bhagwan was leaving for Vrindavan. And Swami asked Mr. and Mrs. Ratanlal, who also were there during the birthday celebrations, to not leave for Mumbai. Swami told Mr. Ratanlal that, "See, look at your wife. She's got fever and why do you want to take her to Mumbai? She's not so well. Why don't you leave her? I will look after her and I will take her to Vrindavan and you know, she will restore, her health will become good. So that's how Swami asked Mr. Ratanlal to leave for Mumbai and Mrs. Ratanlal stays back with Swami. And in 2 days, Swami goes to Vrindavan and they are supposed to leave for Chennai after a few days because the fifth All India Conference of Sathya Sai Samitis was supposed to be held at Chennai. That was scheduled on December 22nd. And once Bhagwan left to Vrindavan, and that is when the turmoil of the war started. So the entire country was in a difficult phase, and in the ashram, not many people were aware of what was happening. In those days, communication facilities were obviously not as good. But because Bangalore was very close, Vrindavan was very close to the Hindustan Aeronautics Limited factories, and HAL, the Hindustan Aeronautics Limited, prepared this MiG engine. So it was a defense establishment and it was a target for the enemy forces. So in that area, there was curfew and everything used to be blacked out by 4:30, 5 o'clock in the evening, so no one can step out. So there were all these restrictions for movements in Vrindavan. And at that point in time, Bhagwan used to finish his darshan much before 4:30. But one thing that happened was, Swami used to spend a lot of time inside, now that the devotees used to disperse much in advance. But one not so nice thing of the repercussion of this war was, there was one family who was staying 4 or 5 kilometers away from Vrindavan who used to send dinner for Bhagwan. In fact, they used to send food all the 3 times, breakfast, lunch, tiffin and dinner. But for some reason, they did not send the dinner for one night. Possibly because of the restrictions in the movement on the streets. Now, this did not happen for one night and, you know, the people who were staying with Swami, like Mrs. Ratanlal and Professor Gokak, who later on became the first Vice-Chancellor, of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. So there were a few people who used to look after the Vrindavan, like Mr. Rama Brahmam, who used to look after the Vrindavan Ashram. So few people who stayed with Bhagwan in the bungalow, the old bungalow, Bhagwan's residence. And so there was no food for them on the first night of this war turbulence. And the same thing happened on the second night. And so Swami used to have no meals in the night. And it was not only Swami, it was the same for all the people who were with Bhagwan. And Swami never talked about it, Swami never complained about it. All the people, of course, they also, I mean, when Swami himself did not have food, so what can they say? So there was no discussion about it. And Swami used to spend a lot of time inside with Professor Gokak and Mr. Ratanlal, and she used to say how they used to sit for hours at Bhagwan's feet and discuss so many spiritual topics. So this continued for the third day, for the fourth day, and that is when Mrs. Ratanlal felt, oh my God, what is this happening? Why can't that family arrange to send the food before 4:30? Why can't they do some arrangement? For 4 days, Swami has not had dinner. And so on the morning of the fifth day, you know, she just could not control herself. She was thinking that they will do something, they will do, but nothing was happening. And so she goes to Swami. And she's thinking, you know, can I do something? And she's constantly worried, but you know, but she's not someone who can cook South Indian food. So she was constantly thinking, what shall I do? What shall I do? Should I ask Swami? But she knows only North Indian cooking. She knew to make a little bit of sambar because Swami had visited Mumbai 2-3 years ago in 66, 67. So that's when she had learned to make a little bit of sambar, that the only South Indian dish she knew. And her cook was also not with her. Her cook was in Mumbai. And so she just could not control herself. And so one day when Bhagwan, on that fifth day, when suddenly Swami looked at her and Swami asked, Amy Samacharam, what is the news? It's a casual way to begin a conversation. But she felt that was a very good opportunity. You know, Swami was willing to listen something from her. That was basically a permission for her to speak and pour out her problem. So she got up and she said, Swami, I'm really worried. Swami, you have not had food for the last 4 nights. And I'm not saying this because we didn't have food. Swami, you have not had anything. And that is really bothering Swami. And Swami just looked at her. You know, it was coming with so much of sincerity from her heart, perhaps. And Swami just looked at her with so much of love. And then Swami said, he didn't say anything actually, but you know, there was something in his eyes. And Mrs. Ratanlal then prayed to Bhagwan and she said, Swami, I know how to cook. If you please give me permission. And the moment she said this, Swami very sweetly said, I have been waiting for you to ask me this. Go, start cooking. I have been waiting for you to ask me. I mean, that is how eager the Lord was to be served by this chosen servitor that he had picked. Just like he had picked one Ishwarama, he had picked one Rama Brahmam, he had picked one Pedda Venkaparaju, you know, he had picked up one Mrs. Ratanlal who will look after his physical needs. And so that day she made alu gobi for dinner, and you know, she tried to make it in a different way, not the traditional Punjabi North Indian style. She made tur dal and she cooked food for all the residents of the house. She remembers how she had made food for Rama Brahmam, Raja Reddy, Murali, the another person who used to look after Bhagwan. And she remembers she made 40 rotis, and she thought that would be enough for all the people, assuming that each one would eat 2 rotis. But all the 5 people had finished everything that she had made, and she had to quickly go back to the kitchen and start cooking again. And you know, in those days you did not have the cooking gas that you have now, so she had to do it with the kerosene pump stove. And she quickly made potatoes, sprinkled salt, and you know, she made food for all the rest of the people who missed eating with Bhagwan. And so that's what she did for that night, fifth night. And then she did not cook anything for breakfast the next morning because the food was coming from this family. And But when Bhagwan went to the dining hall that morning, Swami looked at her and Swami said, "You didn't make anything?" And she said, "Swami, food was anyway coming, you know, these people are sending." And she said, "Swami, I don't know how to make. I mean, I don't know to make this idli, vada, upma, dosa, so all the South Indian items, I don't know." And then she said, "Swami, but I can make puris. I can make puris, I can make chapatis, I can make samosas, I can make bhajis. You know, all these North Indian dishes." And when Swami heard that, Swami asked, "So you can make puris?" She said, "Yes, Swami, I can make puris. Shall I make puris?" And Swami says, "Yes, yes, make puris from tomorrow." So this is what happened during breakfast. And she didn't make anything for lunch because, again, you know, lunch was coming for this from this family. And again during lunch, Swami asked, "You didn't make anything?" And she just kept quiet. And Swami said, no, you should try making something." And you know, Swami didn't stop there. Swami got up, Swami came to the kitchen, and Swami taught her how to make dal. Swami said, "See, this is how you have to make dal. Boil the dal first. Mix these ingredients." He showed the masalas, then you fry the masala, and when it's ready, you know, garnish the dal. You know, how you do seasoning, and she didn't know what this seasoning, you know, and Swami is looking at her, you know, "See, this is how you do it. When the food is ready, you put something, you know, you take the ghee or oil, and then, you know, on that you put these spices, fenugreek, cumin, mustard seeds, and dry chili, and that's how, you know, you do that seasoning, which is called bagar." She didn't understand, you know, Swami used the Marathi word. He said, yeah, do it that way. And so fry the spices and then, you know, do this bagar, do the seasoning. And next day, Swami asked her to make rasam. And again, she did not know how to make. She didn't know the recipe. And Swami goes to the kitchen. Swami gives her instructions. Swami guides her every step of the way. In fact, this reminds me of how Swami used to narrate as a child, Swami used to make rasam. And Swami's grandfather, Kunda Maharaj, used to be so fond of Swami's rasam. In fact, it had such healing properties. And the whole village, Swami used to say, you know, used to line up in front of that hut where Swami used to stay with Kondama Raju to taste that rasam. It was so heavenly, the rasam that Bhagwan had made. In fact, so Swami was teaching her now how to make rasam. So boil like this, mash the spices like this, roast the masalas like this, and, you know, then put everything in the oil and so on. So that is how Swami taught her how to make sambar, how to make rasam, how to make dal. And that is how she started making everything to Swami's taste. And she brought in her knowledge of North Indian. So there was South Indian, a very beautiful convergence of South Indian and North Indian. So she had everything. She had all the repertoire of recipes in her head now to make not only for Bhagwan but to make for everyone who was eating with Bhagwan. And that is how she became a part of Bhagwan's entourage, became a part of Bhagwan's daily life. And she slowly picked up, you know, she set up her system. So she would ask her staff, her driver, to go to the city at 12 o'clock and bring everything by 2 p.m. You know, in those days it was so difficult. You didn't have much transport facilities. And she had made her own arrangement so that no one ever had any clue of how the material was coming and, you know, how she was making the arrangements for doing all this preparation. But everything she used to do without telling anyone and as quietly, as discreetly as possible, just how Swami would want it. So this is how she became part of Bhagwan's life. And since then, for 40 years, she was completely committed to Swami's physical well-being, apart from other things. This is how she got her definite role in Swami's mission. And how Swami prepared her for this, how he pulled her, how he stunned her, how he satisfied her soul. And that is another interesting story. So that goes back to a few years prior to this. So in 1966, Swami was scheduled to come to Mumbai. And in those days, at that particular visit, Swami was to stay in the house of Mr. P.K. Sawant. And Mr. P.K. Sawant was the former chief minister of Maharashtra, and then And so a very respectable figure, and later on Mr. Sawant actually became the first chairman of the Shirdi Sansthan Trust. So he was someone who was very deeply devoted to Shirdi Sai, and later on, of course, Bhagwan, through amazing instances of his omniscience and omnipotence, gave him that conviction how both the sides are one. So this was a period when he was also slowly coming into Bhagwan's fold, and Swami was supposed to stay in his house in 1966. And at that point in time, Mr. Ratan Lal was a chief whip of the Congress party in Maharashtra. He was a very influential politician there in Maharashtra. And there was a meeting arranged in the Shanmukhananda Hall. So Mr. Ratan Lal and Mr. Sawant, they were all very close friends because they were all part of that political elite circle. And so there are some common friends who called up to Mrs. Ratan Lal and said, you know what, there is this Baba coming and we want to see this Baba. Can you get us some passes? Because they tried to get some passes to Mr. Sawant's house, but they could not manage to get any of them. And but they were very deeply devoted to Bhagwan, Mr. and Mrs. Atul and Atal. And so they call up Mrs. Ratan Lal and says, can you somehow get passes? Because they knew that Mrs. Ratan Lal was someone who was not only the wife of Mr. Ratan Lal, but also she was an active social worker. She was a very established businesswoman. She had her own boutique, and she was had a jewelry business, expensive clothes business. So she had her own way of getting things done. Apart from this, she also was a very dynamic social worker. So she had so many institutions, and where she was supporting the cancer patients, supporting orphan children, supporting women. So she was someone who was very, very active in the social circle. She was known as someone who can get things done. So they call up Mrs. Ratan Lal and says, you know, we try to get passes from Mr. Sawant, but he says there are no passes, but you know, can you somehow get us passes? And since Mr. and Mrs. Atul were very close friends, and Mr. Atul was then working in the Union Bank, and they had three daughters and one niece, so they wanted six passes. And Mrs. Ratan Lal thought, okay, if you know, if Mr. and Mrs. Atul want to see this Baba, maybe he's someone special, maybe I should also go. And so when her husband comes from office that evening, she says, you know what, I want 10 passes from Mr. Sawant. So her husband says, why 10? He says, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Atul need 6, and then we are 4. You, me, and she wanted to take her sister-in-law, Mr. Ratan Lal's wife, and her niece, because her niece was born blind. And he thought, okay, if there is a Baba coming, God knows, maybe if he can do something for this child. So she says, I want 10 passes. And Mr. Ratan Lal says, okay, fine, you give it a try. I will take you to Mr. Sawant's house. And after that, it is up to you if you can convince him to give you the passes. So that is how they go to Mr. Sawant's house, and when she says that, you know, she says that I want 10 passes, and Mr. Sawant says, what are you talking? I mean, it is not possible. There is not so much place, and there are already so many guests, so it's just not possible. And she says, no, how can you do this, Mr. Sawant? I mean, these are such committed devotees, they are long devotees, and you know, they are so desperate to see Swami, Mr. and Mrs. Atul. I have known them for so many years, and you know, you can't do this, and then I have this blind child, and Baba's grace is so much needed on both these families. You cannot deny us this. And she goes on until she has her way. And finally, she did manage. She manages to get 10 passes from Mr. Sawant. And only then she leaves that premises. So that is how she gets her work done. So on 6th June 1966, that is when Swami was scheduled to come, and her office was near Mr. Sawant's place, her office and her shop and boutique and all that. So So as she was going for lunch that day, Swami was supposed to come later in the day, and she saw that there's already a crowd there, and this crowd was sitting in Shayadri lawn. Now this lawn was adjacent to Mr. Sawan's house, because there was not so much space in Sawan's lawn, so many people were waiting here. And so when she saw all these people waiting for Bhagwan in the hot sun, it was in the afternoon, something, you know, prompted her to do something to help these people. So she went to her office and she brought 4 buckets of water with ice, lemon squash, orange squash, and, you know, so she made this drink, and she just on her own started serving all these people. She just felt that, you know, these people must be tired. They're waiting for Bhagwan. No one knows when he's going to come. And so she started serving them. And so that is how the afternoon went on. And then it was the evening, and there was no sign of Swami coming. And then the news comes that Swami is still in Thane at 9 o'clock in the night. They get a message that Swami is still 1 hour away. And the people are waiting all afternoon. And they would not move, and there was police bandobast and all that, so they would not even allow them to go inside Sawan's house, you know, the Sawan's lawn. But seeing the plight of the people and the eagerness with which they were waiting for this Baba, and given her influential position, Mrs. Ratanlal, now she says, no, we have to get into Sawan's lawn. And that's how she just leads these people, and they all just go and assemble in Sawan's lawn, and no one can stop them. And given her position, and given, you know, the way she just managed that whole thing. And at that point in time, everyone is now waiting for Bhagwan. And the problem with Mrs. Ratanlal's health at that point in time was that she was a very bad patient of ulcer. So if she didn't have anything for long, you know, then she used to have a lot of complications with her stomach. And so a friend who knew that, you know, she said, anyway, Swami is going to take one more hour. Baba is not going to come now. Why don't you come? My house is just across. You can just have some drink, have some cold milk. You know, it will help you to get rid of your problem. Otherwise, it's going to be very difficult. You know, we don't know when he's going to come, how long he's going to take, and all that. So both of them leave the lawns, and they go to this devotee's house, or this friend's house. And there, after she had the drink, and, you know, she makes some dinner, and so they have the dinner, and they have a little bit of a chat. And by the time they return, to her utter astonishment, Swami has come, and Swami has already retired. He entered Mr. Sawan's house, and he already retired. He had his dinner and retired. And this was very shocking to Mrs. Ratanlal. She felt, how can Swami do this? She felt, this Baba is very funny. People are waiting here for so many hours, and he just comes and he disappears into the house. How can he do this? This is not fair. And he says, no, this is not on. He has to come out, and he has to give darshan. And so all the people, so she says all the people that, you know, we are not going to move from here, and we are going to do bhajans. And she was a very good singer in those days. She came from a background where bhajans was common. I mean, she was originally from Lahore, from this undivided before the partition days. And so in their house at that point in time, in her childhood, her parents used to welcome all the saints and sages. In fact, many of those reputed saints, they are called Mahamandaleshwars of Haridwar and of Allahabad. They used to stay in the home, in her huge home, for 6 months. And, you know, and 100 sadhus used to stay, actually. And they had a huge compound, and his father used to feed them. They used to have satsangs, Ramayan Katha, Bhagavat Katha, and Bhagavad Gita Parayanam. So all that, she was very used to all this, and she used to sing very well bhajans and kirtans. So she said that, we are not going to move from here. Baba has to come out and give darshan. We have been waiting for so long. So from 9:30 to 11:30, they start bhajan, and they continue that bhajan. And she was the loud singer. You know, she was singing so vociferously. And one bhajan after another, she goes on singing, And, you know, the bhajans are just increasing in tempo. Shankha Chakrapi Tambaradhari Karuna Sagar Rama Murari. Well, bhajans just go on.
Kapitambar dhari karuna sagar ram murari
పీతాంబరధారీ కరుణా సాగర రామ మురారీ పీతాంబరధారీ కరుణా సాగర రామ మురారీ శంఖ చక్ర పీతాంబరధారీ కరుణా సాగర కృష్ణ మురారీ
So this is how the bhajans go on and on and on, and suddenly at 11:30 in the night the balcony opens. It is pitch dark and they could see Swami actually appears. 11:30, middle of the night, Swami appears. And the moment Swami sees all these people doing bhajans with so much of reverence and so much of devotional fervor, you know, Swami is so moved, and Swami says, "See all of you, it is very late. Please go home. You come back at 7:00 in the morning tomorrow. I will speak to you." And Swami says this with so much love, with so much sweetness. And as Swami says this, as Mrs. Ratanlal is looking at Bhagwan, something very, very phenomenal happens. As she's looking at Swami, and you know, this chanting is going on, bhajans are going on, Narayan, 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 Narayan. So she's singing Narayan, 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 and suddenly she sees this disc, this chakra, a big golden disc. She says it was almost like bigger than the sun. It's a huge disc. It just flows from Bhagwan's face, from Bhagwan's being, from that balcony, and it just comes and it just envelops her. It just fills her being, and she didn't know what is happening, and she just shouting only Narayan, 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 Narayan. She just singing Narayan, Narayan, and a part of Narayan just goes into her being. And she says, that did something so life transforming to her. Somehow she felt that something that the soul was seeking was finally given to her. And that experience touched her so deeply that she was in a different world. She came back home, Swami left, and when she came back, she just could not control herself about what she had witnessed, what that vision had done to her. And she woke her husband up. She wanted to tell him what she had seen. And when she tried to tell him, you know what? I saw God. I had God's darshan today. And her husband, who was sleepy and, you know, who felt that, what is all this? She's talking like a mad person. She said, her husband said, you know what? You look at your face, you're so sweaty. There's something wrong with you. You just go wash up and sleep. Don't disturb. And she was even more irritated. She was very, very disturbed. I mean, because the husband never understood what she was trying to communicate. She had such a profound experience, and her husband was dismissing everything so carelessly, and she gets upset, and And she just takes her pillow and her bed sheet and she goes to the puja room. Her whole house was air conditioned in those days. So she goes to the puja room. In her puja room, she had Ganesha, Radha, Krishna, Jagdamba, Devi, Surya, Bhrigu Rishi. She had a deep connection with this Bhrigu Rishi and Hanuman. So she goes there and she just keeps thinking about that vision. And she's not able to sleep because that whole moment of filling yourself with that light had just come into her. That light had just penetrated her being. So she just could not sleep. She woke up at 2:30. In those days, she used to do puja for 2 hours because she would bathe her idol, she would change their clothes, and it had a very elaborate, systematic puja that she did every day for 2 hours. And so she just got up at 2:30 because the next morning, Swami was supposed to give darshan at 7 o'clock, and she wanted to be there by 5:36. So she wanted to finish her puja early. So she got up at 2:30, and by 5 o'clock she had finished her puja, and she asked for a driver, and she was 6:30. She started by 6 o'clock. She wanted to be there, so she started there, and she got her niece, and she got a sister-in-law, and because of who she was given a chance to sit in the front row in Savan's house. And so Bhagwan came sharp at 7. And when she saw Swami that morning, as the door opened and Swami emerged, she was so taken in. She said, "Oh my God, he's so adorable. She is so petite, is so young, he is so delicate," because in her mind she had seen so many saints and sages and holy men, and they were all so big personalities, they all had big tummies, they all like Ganesha like figures, all these people, they had big beard, and all these, her imagery of a holy man was so different, and here was Swami who was so beautiful, and he was so cute. He just wanted, and that aura was so soothing. And she was someone who was like, I just wanted to hug him. I mean, he was so calming, and you connected with him. He was almost like my child. That's what she said. That's what I felt. If there was no one, she would have just gone and hugged Swami. And that, when she saw that Swami, she knew that, she somehow knew that he is meant for her and she is meant for him. That is the kind of feeling she somehow felt, that, there was one deep connection between her and Swami. And as Swami came out, and there were all these people around, and in those days there was no concept of seva, there were no volunteers, so all these people were trying to, get Swami's attention, and they were sort of being a bit indisciplined, and the moment Mrs. Ratanlal saw that, she just felt that, something has to be done to bring order. So she just gets up, given that she was an activist and a social worker, she didn't need anyone's directions and suggestions to do this. She just got up to the platform, and there was the mic, so she took the mic and she said, all of you, please calm down, we have to bring an order and all that. So all of you sit here, you sit there, don't do this, be disciplined. So she goes and, she just brings order to the place. Just instinctively, nobody asked her to do that. And as she is doing that, just fearlessly, not even bothered about what Swami would think or what anyone else would think, and Swami is looking at her quizzically, and Swami is looking at top to toe, and Swami is not saying her anything. Swami is just watching the way she brings order in a matter of few minutes. In 10, 15 minutes, everything becomes absolutely peaceful, and once that happens, she starts singing bhajan, and she asks everyone to sing, and she says, we should spend time, just, let's calm down, and let's chant his name. And that's what she does. And that is when Swami goes out and gives darshan. And that whole experience again was what a grand introduction of her to Swami, and Swami to her, and to all the people about who Swami and she are to the world. So that is how that morning went. And in the evening, there was a darshan which was scheduled in the Shanmukhananda Hall. This was the second day of Bhagwan's stay in Mumbai, 1966 June. And now she tells her husband, you know what, you should come with me. You should come to see the Sai Baba. And her husband says, I am not coming. And she didn't know what to do. In those days, especially, as she says, you know, you can't be that assertive with a husband who just not willing to listen. But to her good fortune, her mother-in-law always took her side. And so in the presence of her mother-in-law, she tried to tell her husband that, you know what, it's not as if you don't come with me to so many places. If you don't like anything, you know, you come back. You just come with me. And if you don't like sitting there, you get up and just return. I will make my own arrangements and return later. But, you know, you have come with me to so many places, so many holy places. We have met so many holy people. What's your reservation? Why can't you come just for my sake? And somehow she has her way through and her husband comes. Even though, you know, her husband was a very strong personality, but somehow she convinces him. And so they both come to the Shanmukhananda Hall. And because of her husband's stature in the society, you know, the moment they see him, they will obviously put him in the first line. So she says to her husband that, you know, it's better you sit behind, you sit somewhere, you know, where no one will see you. And so that even if you want to return at any point in time, you want to get up and come back, you know, you can silently do that without disturbing anyone. So her husband goes and sits behind. And in fact, there were two aisles in the Shanmukhananda Hall. The main aisle where all the decorations were made and where Swami is supposed to come. And there was another side aisle which was generally not used much. So husband goes and sits, you know, along that side aisle because, you know, he didn't want to be noticed. And so they settle down and after a while, so Swami comes. And Swami is that jubilant, beautiful self. And very interestingly, Swami does not take the main aisle. And Swami goes to that side aisle and everyone is so surprised. No arrangements were made for Bhagwan to come on that side. There were no floral arrangements made or anything. But Swami wants to go that side. So Swami goes there. And now Mrs. Ratanlal's eyes were more on Mr. Ratanlal than on Swami because he was wondering now what will happen, you know, what will be her husband's reaction because, you know, Swami is going that way now. This man didn't want to even see Swami, didn't want to have anything to do with Swami, but Swami is going that side. So what is going to happen to him? She was very concerned. And as she's watching, Swami is going down that aisle. And as Swami is doing that, suddenly she sees that when Swami nears Mr. Ratanlal and Swami leaves the place, suddenly Mr. Ratanlal just gets up. He's almost like something happens and he springs on his seat. He's 6 inches, he just jumps on his seat and something happens to him. And Mrs. Ratanlal sees that there is something has happened because after that, when she looks at his face, there are only tears. He's just crying and crying. I mean, he has never seen a husband crying like that. Her husband is just a ocean, a sea of tears. And she knows that something has happened. After that, of course, Bhagwan goes to the stage and Bhagwan gives a discourse. It is in Telugu and not many people understand what Bhagwan is telling. Even though Professor Kasturi was trying to translate to the best he can. But, you know, given the torrential flow in which Bhagwan's discourse was flowing, not many people, I mean, Professor Kasturi also was not able to do justice. In those days, you know, discourses used to be so vibrant, so full of energy, and Swami would be like like Ganga flowing, the Ganges of wisdom, and Professor Kasturi would try, but so many people found it difficult to even understand, especially because they didn't understand the South Indian Telugu. And Mrs. Ratanlal was constantly looking at her husband, what was happening to her, and you know, there was something, even though he did not understand what Bhagwan was saying, and in fact, Mr. Ratanlal was already in some other world, something had happened deep inside, and so the program was over, Swami gave a discourse, and Aarti happened, and Swami retired, and now all people were returning, and that is when they come out of the hall, and now something untoward had happened. In fact, that day they had come to this venue in a new car. In fact, Mr. Ratanlal had bought a new car and he was very fascinated with all these new gadgets. So in this new car, there was a new music system and, you know, he had fitted this car with many new features. And he was very particular about them and, you know, he always loved to play around with them. But to his utter shock, when they saw the car, went to the car, he saw that the car has been damaged. Someone has broken in and the car was in shambles and all the new music system and everything has been taken away from the car. And the car was in absolute ruin. And Mrs. Ratanlal says what was most shocking to her was the reaction of Mr. Ratanlal. On any other day, if something like this would have happened, Mr. Ratanlal would have just blown his top. No one, you know, he would have just gone crazy. He would have made a million phone calls and he would have tried to catch the culprits or whatever. But on that day, for some mysterious reason, he was so cool, he was so calm, it was so different. I mean, it was absolutely not what Mr. Ratanlal was, whatever she has seen of him for all those years. He just said, it's okay. He just said, you know what, let's just get two taxis. And he says to his sister that you take your daughter and you leave. And he says, you know, generally Mrs. Ratanlal used to travel with his sister-in-law. And Mrs. Ratanlal says, no, today you're going to travel with me. So he calls another taxi and they just go home in those two taxis. And during that ride, he just asks questions. You tell me about Baba. You tell me about who this Baba is. And Mrs. Ratanlal says, I don't know. I have no idea. And he insists, no, you have to tell me. You have to tell me. I have to know about this person. And she says, I don't know. Even I'm just coming to know about him. But she says, there's one thing that has happened. You know what? You know, every morning I do this puja. And during the puja, I always dress up Bhrigu Maharshi, you know, the sage Bhrigu. I always dress him up, you know, in white clothes. But I don't know, last 6 months, whenever I change his clothes and I give him a bath and, you know, whenever I dress him up, something happens and suddenly I see an orange hue on his clothes. I don't know why the white always transformed into orange. And I used to see all these hues of orange on Bhrigu Maharshi, but I never knew what it was. In fact, his whole being used to convert into orange. I never understood what it was. And also, you know what, last 6 months, whenever Mr. and Mrs. Atal, they came and to our home, and whenever they saw me, you know, they used to see my earrings, and she used to wear these huge diamond earrings. And they used to say, hey, we can see Baba. Can you see? We can see Baba on your ear tops. So they used to always say that, you know, they had seen Swami, they had seen, they can see Baba on my ear tops. That's what they used to say. I don't know. You know, this is all this mysterious thing that has happened in the last 6 months. And whenever we do bhajan on every Tuesdays, they used to do bhajans and kirtans. And Mr. and Mrs. Atal used to say that, you know, Baba came. Baba came. Did you see Swami? Did you see Swami? So Mrs. Ratanlal says, this is all I know. I mean, this person somehow has been coming, but I have no other idea about who this person is. You know, she used to think, must be some Swami, you know, is trying to do something, but he had no idea that, oh my God, he's God and he's so adorable. And, you know, he's such a beautiful, he's someone whom you can connect at such a deeper level. And she says that, you know, in any other situation, you know, she was always very composed, but it was one moment of seeing Swami when she just broke down because she just felt that something inside broke. So that is how, you know, she shared about how that light that came to her has been coming to her for so many months, for 6 months. And Mrs. Ratanlal now says that we have to know more about him. And in fact, there are many things that happen. Swami, in that same trip, Swami, after he enters into their lives in the form of this beautiful light, you know, as I said, first the light enters into you. And once the light enters into you, what happens? Well, I think we'll continue this in the next time. The time is up. But there are very, very fascinating things that happen in their lives, physically, mentally, psychologically, spiritually, and way, you know, Swami takes them on that journey. As I said, the journey of the light is in me, to you are in the light, to you becoming the light. So that is the very enlightening journey of Mrs. Ratan Lal. And as we listen to her story and as we listen to how Swami shaped her to becoming that exemplar devotee, that fantastic servitor, you know, there are a lot of lessons that he silently was giving to all of us, and we will ruminate on those lessons more as we go on in this program. So dear listeners, please join me next week, same time, on Outside Inside, Deep Inside, you know, and let's listen to this Sai Bhagavatam of how Swami created this Ratan. Ratan means a gem, you know, how Swami created this priceless diamond. And we will know how, only when you dye your mind, Swami says, that, you know, you can become a diamond of the Lord, and how this dying of the mind can happen, and how Swami makes that in our lives. Well, so we'll go on in this journey in the next episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Thank you so much for being with us for this beautiful. If you have any queries or comments, dear listeners, as always, you can write to listener@radioside.org. If you want to write anything personally to me, you can write to Bishu, B-I-S-H-U, Bishu@radiosai.org. So let's do this satsang together. Let's move on this journey, on this enlightening journey of becoming one with the light. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.
Jyotirmayi. जननी कृपा करो।